In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. As you know, we talked during the month of December about family. And as you heard the scripture today from the book of Luke in chapter 1, and as you all know, during the whole month of Kiyak, in the four Sundays, we read only one book, one chapter, that's chapter 1 of the book of Luke. And as you can see, the angel appeared to St. Mary, and he was talking to St. Mary. She was asking questions, he was explaining and answering the questions, and even telling her about the good news about Saint Elizabeth. So from this you can tell there is something very important here about family, something that I will call it today the family altar. What is the family altar, and how can we build the family altar? You know, in general, that through our Lord Jesus Christ we live in unity with God. That's why you have seen heaven speaking to earth. The angel was talking to St. Mary. So we live in unity with God. And we rid ourselves of bitterness, anger, slander, so not to grieve the Holy Spirit. That's how we communicate with God, and we give God the chance to come and speak with us. Because God always wants to fill us with His love so that we can love one another. This is all fine, but we don't often seem to be taking the directions of the apostle. For example, in families, you see that children are fighting, arguing over toys, who gets to do this or that. Parents could be arguing over money or any other problem. And things could get so bad, even in Christian families from the church. And they get so bad that they could turn themselves apart. That should not be the way for God's children who are created in His image and His likeness. Parents themselves, husbands and wives, instead of living in peace and love, they are centering on the problem and letting this animosity build up between them. It is the little things that all add up, and they never get addressed, and that make the family wear down so quickly that we don't give ourselves time to enjoy life as Christians are God's own children. So often husbands and wives, instead of coming together in love and mutual submission to God, they answer each other with that word is familiar here in this society. When you speak to someone, they tell you whatever. This whatever word is very dangerous word to speak, because it means, though I do not agree with you, you can go your way and I will go mine, and whatever happens to our relationship, that doesn't matter. This whatever word means I have lost hope that we can come to an agreement, and it doesn't matter to me. This whatever word is a common word and is a symptom of the problem that many face today. We aren't grounded in the love of the Lord Jesus that brings with it the compassion, the love, the faithfulness. The easy way is say whatever. So please think about this. This indifference, if ignored, is what tears the family apart. It is not only the lack of money or the health care problems or not having enough time that's what's consuming more marriage and families than ever before, but mostly that indifference one another whenever you come to the stage of saying whatever. So there is an answer to all this indifference today. The answer is your daily walk with the Lord. He knows the difficulties of life. He knows what it is like to raise children. He himself was a child one day. He took our flesh and became man. He knows what we go through as a family, through our hardship and tribulations. And even his family was a poor family. His family was a carpenter. Joseph was a carpenter, and when he died, the Lord was at the age of 16. So that means he took care of the family until he reached the age of 30 when he was taking care of St. Mary, and then after that he started his ministry. He knows the meaning of family and family problems and hardships. So what would be the answer to all of these problems today? It is what we call it the bread of life. The Lord said in the book of John, chapter 6, verses 50 and 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. So when we receive that bread here in the church and the altar, we receive the body and the blood of the Lord Himself for the forgiveness of sins, for making us to always become new, to forget our problems, to forgive each other, and every day we start like a new life. That's how it should be. That's what the meaning of altar is. When you come and take communion, you are coming here ready, meaning you are confessing your sins, you are repenting your sins, and now you are coming to take the body and the blood of the Lord Himself, so you can abide in Him and He abides in you, and the two of us become one. This is the unity. Also remember what happened at the time when Noah and his family passed through the flood waters and got out of the ark. What was the first thing they did? They built an altar for the Lord. They offered sacrifice to the Lord. Who did? Noah, his wife, his three children, and their wives, meaning the family altogether, they offered the sacrifices on the altar, and they built the altar for the Lord. When King David sinned against the Lord by counting his soldiers to determine his own strength rather than relying on God and the promise of God that he would be victorious, he repented. And when he repented, what did he do? He built an altar to the Lord, which, as you all know, it later became the temple at Jerusalem. So God is always ready to bless us. He is always ready to give us His peace. And He is always ready to be with us in our home, to make it our true church that belongs to Him. He is ready to bring you back to His image and likeness. He created us in His image and likeness. So why not? He continues. The reason is we don't give Him the chance to do it. We are always holding very tight to our own beliefs, our thinking, our mind. And we think what we say and do is the right thing, as if God does not exist and as if God doesn't know what to do. So how can I bring God back to my life, and how can I make my family to be a true church and build that family altar? Few things first before I tell you how that we as a family should always keep in our mind. For example, fathers, you know that God expects you to take the leadership at the family altar, for you are the priest of your own little church. Remember, when you got married, you wore the garment of the priest to remind you that you will be the priest of your own house. The mothers, you remember that you represent the church. You are called mother. The church is called the mother, meaning you bring all the children together, the whole family. It's like the glue that brings everybody all together in love and humility. The children, remember the commandments of God, that you must honor your father and your mother. And God commanded this, and God promised if you do it, you will also receive a reward. You have a longer life, could be understood like time, could also be understood as blessing right here on earth. For all parents, please remember that our children will not remember us after we are gone, because we were at the office all the time, so we could buy them anything. They will only remember us because we showed them love by leading them to imitate God. They will not be happy when you are spending all your time at work and they are working hard and bringing the money. And the minute you see your kids, you are very angry and upset because I am so busy, I am so tired, I don't have any time for you. So do it your way. But this is not the family altar. Where is the church? The minute we leave earth, they will be happy that we left earth because we did not give them that feeling of love and family. We did not bring God into our house. That's where parents should watch very carefully. It is not the money that will make anyone happy. It's not the time you spend at work and I'm working hard for my kids. I left my country to come here. It's all good. But you did not see the reflection on your family. If they are not happy, you are not doing it the right way. Go back and check with yourself and your father of confession if what you are doing is right or not. That makes us sometimes come to church because we have to. Our kids are pushing us to come to church, not because we want to, not because we want to come here and pray. I came here to stand up because my kids want to come. I just want to make my duty to bring my children to God, and that's it. No, that should not be it. I come to church because I want to come and share with everyone, the family of the church. I want to show God that I love Him so much. I want to praise God, and I want to let my kids learn from me as a role model that I really love God and I mean it by coming and forgetting my tiredness, forgetting my busy schedule. I come here to worship God because now I am a priest of my family. I want to lead my family to know the truth about God. So how can we build the altar? 4 points, and I'll try to make it quickly. Number one, you must create your own family story. Make memories together. Talk about vacations and trips and holidays and tradition and family nights. Write it down. Make pictures. Make like an album or journal, something that can show that wonderful experience. Time when you were laughing together, time when we were crying together, time when we were walking and talking together and working together. Even working outside and during like a snowstorm like the time outside now, when we all go and try to clean the driveway, this is something we do it together as a family. I will not sit at home and force my child to go and do it. You must do it. I will do it with you. I will do some part, and considering my age, whatever I can, and you can do another one. We share it together. When they grow older, they say, I remember when we were young, my dad used to help. He used to come out during the snow time, cold time. He did not leave us alone. He was helping us. Remember, this build like good emotional feelings toward the family that we are one, united. When we sit together at the family altar, when we have the time, the right time for us to sit and talk, we will share the experience. We remember Dad when he did so and so. Remember Mom when he did so and so. And that becomes a good time for us. And determine the story your family will write together. Let's talk about our trip to Florida this summer. Let's talk about our trip to whatever country that you want to visit. So create your own family story. Number two, you must carve out sacred time. The fourth commandment, it says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And when I say it similar in a way, remember your family time, your altar time, and keep it holy. Holy meaning sacred time. It means it must be set apart, dedicated time, devoted to that single purpose of sitting together as family. We talk together and we share our laughs and our joy and our weeping and mourning times. Write it down. Use your calendar, your phone organizer that can have time. This time is a sacred time, a holy time. We all will meet and sit and talk. I will not waste the time in watching TV. I will not go to speak over the phone with someone that take me an hour or two. And I go beyond the, well, I have the good intention that I wanted to do it. Forget that good intention. Just do it. Go for it. Remember, this is a sacred time, a holy time, your church time, your family time. No one should take you from that time. That's what we mean by the family altar. We sit together and talk together. And when we sit and talk, we will ask each other, what happened today in school? Who's your friend? I heard people are posting pictures over the internet. Did you post any picture of the internet? How is it? Is it good? Is it bad? Let me see it. Get to see the pictures your kids are posting on the internet. Make sure they are Christian pictures. Make sure they are appropriate ones, not revealing nothing that shows bad behavior, for example. Show and share that you know and you care. That's how you dedicate and devote the time for your family. And it's not being together because I'm here physically. No, I am here by the Spirit. I am sitting with my family and we share this life journey and we learn and grow together and we show our mutual love and respect. That's how we make the sacred time. You may ask, well, it's boring and how can I spend the time? I will give you like a few ideas. For example, you can read a good book together. Each week you decide which book you read or which chapter you read or which story that you wish to read. Think about anyone and share with your family, your kids. Ask them, what would you like to read this week? Tell them what would you like. They get bored or tired from reading. Okay, fine, let's watch a saint movie. Not any movie, not any other stuff that bring bad words inside our family, our church. Thank God we have lots of Bible stories and saint stories on movie and CDs and DVDs. You can watch it together. Spend the time to learn from the church saints. We read them every liturgy during the synaxarium. Now we have it. We have available resources now. Do not waste it. Do not waste it in watching bad stuff and let your kids watch things that you do not know of. Make sure you know what they are watching and what they are doing. Also, you may even give them a research to discover some ideas, maybe some mission, maybe volunteer work. Maybe you can schedule a day to work. You go out together as a family to serve. For example, on the 29th of December, our church is going out to serve in nursing homes. The children will go. Maybe it's time for you to say, let me go with our children. Well, if you don't want to go out to serve, let's go out to speak at coffee shop. Let's go have some ice cream together. Together, that's the key word, as a family. We sit together, we talk together, and we share together, and we eat together. When you sit and eat together, that brings all the ideas, and everybody will talk about his problem. Let me tell you a survey that happened by the National Center for Addiction and Substance. They said kids who eat at least 5 times a week with their parents and family, they are less likely to try cigarette and 50% less likely to try alcohol. Those who eat 2 or less, they are the ones who drink wine and get in trouble. They are the ones who go through so much hard time with school and teachers and everybody else. Another good source, if you wish to know, something called the familyfacts.org. You can read over the internet about lots of good information about this. So try something good. Try like a pizza night as we do on Saturdays after the Tazbiha. The idea is to bring the whole family of the church together. Do the same. Bring your kids together. Sit and talk with them. Anybody's bothering you at school, what they say, what they do, ask. Your chance and your good time is that altar that you build in your own house. And when you do it, you will teach your kids how to have their life centered about God. For example, if I have decision to make, which school will I go to, which college, which major, you can say, no problem, let's sit together, let's pray together, let's read the Bible, hear the word of God, all together, ask God what he has in mind for us. We may argue sometimes, but I tell you from my experience, we never had any arguments in our family more than a minute or two, maximum. It never go beyond that. And it only happens because something is not clear, and that's it. So we clarify it. It never goes beyond a minute or two. And this minute or two could be every month or two or three. Can't even remember when. Family that argues too much, it doesn't have God in it. Bring God into your family. Center your family around God. Teach your kids that God comes first. Anything that we say and we do should be always under the guidance and direction of God and His church. We read, we hear, and we know what God has in mind for us. We did not reach an agreement. Okay, let's read the Bible. Maybe God will guide us from this reading. He will bring something for us. The fourth and the last point about the family altar, you can cultivate the spiritual eyes and the heart of your family. And I'm going to read for you from Psalm 128. It's only 6 verses. It says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall be the man blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. So the first verse that says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways, it means you have a spiritual goal that is to honor God and you walk in obedience to God. You teach your kids, if you do it, we'll get the blessing. It says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. So if you put God number one, you will always have this blessing. The second verse, it says, when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. It means your hard work pays off. The fruit of your labor will be like stable kids. You'll have them equipped for real life. Number three, that says your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. It means you will have a productive, fruitful wife, a home she is proud of, a family that she loves. Then the scripture continues and say your children like olive plants all around your table. It means they will come home. They will be right here around your table. You will not lose them to anyone or to anything. They will be around you because they have a house full of love. They will always be longing to come home and sit with the family and to speak with the family. The blessing when you have God in that little church of yours. Then it says, behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. It means the families whose first priority is God, they live blessed life. These things are the result of your commitment to the faith. And the result would be the healthy relationship between the husband and wife and the children. And your kids will always have a stable life. They have nothing to fear. They have nothing to hide from you. They trust you. They know that you love them so much. And if you reprimand them, you have a good reason for it. You know it's for their benefits. And the last couple of verses would be the blessing of God that says, the Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. So you find yourself by looking at all of this when you build your family altar, you long for this life that is blessed by God, and it will be the family that God already established from day one when He created Adam and Eve. And He put us in paradise, not anywhere else. So He wants us to go back to be in paradise. Since He saved us when He came and died on the cross for us, we are supposed to be in paradise all the time. So what are you waiting for? Why you change the image that God has created? I want to conclude by this one word. Family altar means let the family altar alter, A-L-T-E-R, meaning change your life. Let the family altar alter your family and make you commit your life and your family to God. And glory be to God now and forever and ever. Amen.